Good morning, church. I'll say good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to see everybody in the sanctuary today. Just by you being here, you are a miracle. Amen. That means that God woke you up and he got you here safely. Amen. Let's thank God for him, for that. All right. So good morning and welcome to the Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to our Taylor family and all our friends who are joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. Let's give it up for our pastor today. He is in the house. Amen. We thank God for him. We thank God for God continuing to cover him. We are looking forward from a good word today. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask if everybody would stand so I can say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday, Lord Jesus. We thank you for bringing us here safely, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you freely, Lord Jesus. We thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you have done for us as a congregation, what you have done for us individually in our lives, Lord Jesus. I ask that you continue to protect us, continue to guide us, continue to lead us, Lord Jesus. Because you are God alone, Lord Jesus. You can never fail. You will never fail us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that easy communication, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we are not worthy, but we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord Jesus. We ask that you come into this house, Lord Jesus, today. We welcome your presence, Lord Jesus. We welcome your presence today and every Sunday, Lord Jesus. I ask that you take away anything that's unlike you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you clear our minds, Lord Jesus. Purify our hearts, Lord Jesus. That you can be glorified, Lord Jesus. That we can receive your word today, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you as this Christmas season comes, Lord Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who you gave to us for salvation, Lord Jesus. We ask that you protect everyone, Lord Jesus. We ask that I'm praying over our angel tree event today, Lord Jesus. We ask that they see you through us, Lord Jesus. Let our light shine, Lord Jesus. I ask that you save souls, Lord Jesus, because that is what being a Christian is, Lord Jesus. I ask that you get them here safely. And again, we welcome your presence into this church. We welcome your presence into this event, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for everyone that participated in this event, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I can't hear it. So now we're going to go to our scripture. We will be coming from Galatians 6 and 9. Okay. Say amen if you have it. Again, we're coming from Galatians 6 and 9. All right. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. I'm going to read that again. Let us not become weary. Let us not crash out. You heard that line? That's what the kids saying. Let us not crash out in doing good. For in the proper time, and the proper time is God's time, amen, we will reap harvest if we do not give up. Amen. That was a blessing. Amen. All right. You guys may be seated. Okay. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to do the announcements. That's okay with you guys. And if it's not, I don't know what to tell you. Okay. So as I mentioned today, we do have our Angel Tree event today. Amen. So that will be held on the third floor at 12 o'clock. So we welcome all our Angel Tree families. We want to welcome them to the third floor. We'll have we have a special guest. We'll be fellowshipping with our families. And I look forward to seeing you guys at 12 as we go up to the third floor. Okay? All right. We continue to have communion this month. Will be Sunday, December the 15th. Watch night service. That's different. We haven't had watch night service in a while. So let's clap for watch night service. Watch night service will be December the 31st at 10:30 p.m. Amen. What better way than to take in the new year with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What better way to take in the new year with our church family? So if you planned on going out, cancel your plans. We're going to be right here, okay? Amen. Y'all didn't say amen. Amen. Wednesday night is prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. And then Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. So we look forward to seeing you and your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sunday. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to have a sermonic solo by our sister Leah Reed. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 We just honor the Lord for all that he's done, for what he is doing, and how he continually makes ways out of no way. We thank God for sending his son, making a way of salvation for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith, we know that nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out, and you're watching us now. But when it looks as if we can't win, you wrapped us in your arms and stepped in. And everything we need, you supply. You got this in control. And now we know that you made a way. Oh, when our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And now we're here looking back on where we've come from. It's because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you've shown. But your grace was strong enough to pick us up because you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a, oh, you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Oh, 'cause you move the mountains. You cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you may, oh, you move the mountains and you cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because, oh, you move the mountains. Oh, and he calls walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here. Oh, you move mountains and you call the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you may. And we're standing here only because you may. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. If you are glad God made a way, let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. If you may be made a way for you today, let's praise him, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We thank him. Speaking of making a way, it's good to see you, Brother Sean. Sorry to put you on the spot, but let's give a clap for Brother Sean. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for bringing him through. Hallelujah. Well, the pass is out, so I guess he's ready. Please stand. We miss our pastor when he's not here. Here you go, Pastor. Pastor Church, Church Pastor.
Let's thank God for Sister Shanita. Amen. There is simply no one else like her. Amen. Oh, bless God. We thank God for all things. We thank God for this another Lord's Sunday morning. Thank God for being here. Thank God for you being here as well. But above all, we thank God that the Holy Spirit is here. In us and through us and among us. And it's by his spirit and the shed blood of Christ that we are one with him. Amen. And we thank God for the oneness that we have. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus' great high priestly prayer for his for his church was simply this: Lord, make them one, even as you and I are one. So thank God for you. So look, we're going to jump right into the Word of God. We have some ground to cover. If you have your Bible, we're in the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. The first chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 25. It's our primary text. I'm going to add to the witness Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Amen. Thank God for not only being back, but being able to be in the pulpit again. Thank to all of you for your prayers and your emails and good wishes. Thank you for praying me back. Amen. So this is what I want to do over the next couple of Sundays. I'm going to preach from the thematic theme. This is the theme I want to use for the balance of the holiday season. And that is listening to angels at Christmas. Okay? Listening to angels at Christmas. And so with this angle of vision, as we spend the next couple of Sundays revisiting the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, I want you to notice I'm going to look at it from the perspective of what the angels say. Okay? There are many characters, many folks involved in the birth of Christ, one of which are angels. And I want to pay attention this Christmas to what the angels say at Christmas time. Okay? And so with that, we'll jump into the Word of God, and I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, as we're going to cover a lot of ground, but I want you to pay special attention to what the angel says. Amen? There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. He was of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Amen. Amen. That's our primary text. Let's look to the witness real quick. Philippians 4:6. Familiar, many of you may know it by heart. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your heart and minds by and through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, let those that are in the vestibule and in the back, allow them to come in. Don't want to hold you up any further. Thank God for you honoring the word of God. This Sunday morning, I want to talk from the subject, blameless, barren, and blessed. Okay? Blameless, barren, and blessed. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There is no name like unto the name of our Lord, our God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run therein and are safe. Lord, we thank you that your name is our name, that we bear the name and the mark of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are known throughout the world as the children of God, connected by blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Lord, we thank you for this time of year, this season, when we are drawn to reflect on the birth of Christ, the coming to pass of God's plan of salvation and redemption for humankind. So, Holy Spirit, this Sunday morning, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes that we might see. Above all, give us a heart that we might obey. For we realize that requires nothing more but simply to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. All of God's people say amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. It is called the most wonderful time of the year. But the holidays can be less than merry for many people. Your emotional health concerns don't disappear just because it's the holiday season. In fact, you may find existing issues oftentimes worsen at this time of year. The holiday season can be a joyous time, but can also be quite stressful due to the obligations people have and the prospect of having to schedule and arrange family get-togethers, spending money on gifts and gift-giving. And it doesn't help that daylight saving times make the days shorter and the nights longer, which can also lead to a decrease in social communication and an increase in social isolation, which some folks call cabin fever. Get dark earlier, so you go in earlier and you stay in. While you may often feel pressure to keep spirits up and keep a smile on your face during the holidays, that pressure can worsen the feelings of loneliness and depression for some. And it is okay to experience a range of emotions during this particular season, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That the added pressure of the holidays, right? And all that goes along with it. And on that note, let me stop and not go any further. And let's thank all of our Santa helpers for how lovely the church looks. I wasn't here last Sunday, but man, it looks outstanding. And this year, that's right, give them a hand to all of our elves, all of our young men and young lady who did all the up and down the stairs. The whole building looks fantastic. And what I'm only going to do this one time, because they upgraded my office in terms of decorations. So it wasn't the same decorations. I got an upgrade. I don't know. Maybe that's what happens when you're sick. You come back, they upgrade you. So I got an upgrade on the decorations in my office. And so for this holiday season, if anyone would like to see how my office was decorated, you may. Look, you can come either before service or after service, and after I change and all that, you can come in and look and see and be like, hey, what is the pastor talking about? They upgraded my office. Amen. But thank God for all of you. But again, that's just adding to the stress. Not just you got to come to church, now someone got to put all this up and the lights and all that. So the added stress. So here it is. So this is what I want to do. Today, I would like to offer a helpful tip, right? You always heard me say this if you've been around long enough. I never had a great desire to be a great pastor. I always wanted to be a helpful pastor, right? That someone can look back on our time together and say, you know what? The pastor helped me. You know, this period of my life, this situation, the pastor really helped me. And so I want to be a helpful pastor. And in that spirit, I want to give you a helpful tip for the holidays. Amen. And that way, this Christmas, you will not be able to say the pastor didn't do anything for me, right? I'm doing it right now. I'm going to give you a helpful tip, okay? So don't look for anything else. Here, get it while the getting's good, all right? Here's your helpful tip, right? So you can be more prepared to handle both the stress and joy of the holidays, okay? You ready? Here it is, from your pastor to you. A helpful tip. You ready? Be anxious for nothing, right? This is a helpful tip. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? You got that? You can't pray and be bitter, right? You can pray about it, but you got to end with joy because you got to offer what? Thanksgiving. That helps your prayer go up. Are you with me? I'm being helpful this Sunday. It says, let your request be made known to God, right? And in response, the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That's your helpful tip for the holidays. And if you follow it, you'll make it through and come out on the other side. Right? Don't let Christmas be a sour time, a bad time. Like, oh my God, I can't wait for Christmas to be over. Right? Well, you need to get this tip. Amen? Okay. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, good. I'm finished with that. So here we go. Barren, blameless, barren, and blessed. In this story, a familiar Christmas story, and this particular one is not the birth of Christ, but in fact the birth of his forerunner, John the Baptist, and it says that they were both righteous, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law, blameless. Zacharias and Elizabeth were believers and justified in God's sight. They were living and doing everything right according to the Jewish law. The Bible called them blameless, right? Biblically, the blameless are often portrayed as faithful and obedient servants of God. They trust in him and seek to follow his guidance in all aspects of their lives. Those who are blameless are truthful in their words and actions, and they strive to do what is right even when it is difficult or unpopular, right? They don't cave in to prayer pressure. They stick with the word of God, right? So these Zachariah and Elizabeth were good people who were doing everything right. Okay? And the Bible called them, they were blameless. Colossians 1:21 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of God. Right? That's what his blood does for us. Presents us as blameless. Not that we are blameless, but it presents us in the sight of God as blameless. So Zacharias and Elizabeth were good people. Good church people. Went to church every Sunday. Right? Faithfully gave. Right? Faithfully served. Faithfully volunteered. Helpful in their own neighborhood. Their own community. Even bad people had to say good stuff about them. Right? That's how blameless their record was. Right? Folks here said, no, that ain't, you can't be talking about not Zachariah and Elizabeth, right? We got the record on them. Their record is spotless. They're blameless. Are you with me? Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Right? Verse 7, but they had no child. Blameless, but no child. Faithful at the church, but no child. Tithers, always one of the best tithers, but no child. Right? Always helpful in the neighborhood. They didn't have kids, but they always blessed what? All the other kids in the neighborhood, in the community. But they themselves had no child. So on the one hand, they were blameless. But on the other hand, they were barren. And here it is. This Bible study. Look at your Bible. I'm going to give it to you. Right? Helpful pastor. Y'all at verse 7? You see that first word there? What's that first word? But. Right? Here it is. Everybody look at me now. Ready? Here it is. I need every eye. I only got some eyes. Some eyes is closed, but that's all I can get. That's what I can get. Here it is. Here it is. I'm down the road with it. Here it is. Everybody has a butt. You may not realize it, but I'm preaching right now. I'll say it again. This is your preaching point. Everybody has a butt. Whether you are blameless or not, you have a butt. Everybody has a butt. Everybody has something in their life that they don't want to talk about, that they don't want you to know about, right? Everybody has something in their life that they're not proud of, right? And it's called your butt. Zacharias was a priest. Elizabeth was of the house of Aaron. But instill, they had a what? They had a butt. Faithful at the church. A blessing in the community. But they had a what? A butt. Whoever's next to you, just look at them and say, what's your butt? Now, don't expect an answer because it's Sunday morning church time. And even if it wasn't, they wouldn't tell you, right? But everyone has a butt. Now get this. Here's your second preacher point. If you get this, you're down the road with the sermon. Get this. So what? Look at everybody. Tell me everybody's got a butt. Right? Now this is why we come to church. Get this, right? Everybody has a butt. God will often use your butt to bless you. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. Pastor Ford, if I knew you were going to preach like this, I'd have come early. Everybody has a butt, right? But for us, with our butts, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to tell anybody about it. Half the times, we don't want to admit it to our own selves. But as your pastor, I'm trying to help you this holiday to let you know that oftentimes, God will use your butt to bless you. He's not going to use the fact that you're the high priest. He's not going to use the fact that your wife came from a good family. That stuff is nice, but that's not what God's going to use. What God is going to use to bless you the best is your butt. The thing you're not proud of. The thing you don't talk about. The stuff you don't testify about at church. The stuff you don't pray on the open prayer line on Wednesday. No, we pray about some other. I'm not praying about that. Because I don't want anyone to know my butt. Everybody has a butt. God will often use your butt to bless. Zacharias and Elizabeth's butt was that she was barren and they were both old. It's okay to be barren if you're 15. Because you still got time. Get married, start a family, you got time. But it's another thing to be barren when you're 65. Right? Because now you're after the appointed time. Right? 50 years ago when I was 15, it was okay. But now that I'm 65, and I'm still, for 50 years, I had to live with a butt. Now I'm past time, right? And now, and then it says, now she was barren, but it says they were both what? Well in age. So that meant not only was she old, that meant what? That meant he was old too, right? So the whole process, it can't work now. Whatever we had a chance to do, we've missed it, right?
Anybody raise your hand if you know what it's like to miss a chance, miss an opportunity. Tell me if you ever said this before. Holidays, you reflect, look back and say, man, if it was just 20 years ago, man, if I was young like you, right? Looking back on what could have been, right? Childlessness carried a reproach in Jewish culture where blessings were seen to be tied to birthrights and family lines. Barrenness could occasionally be a sign of divine disfavor, but not always. Still, it carried a social stigma that for many women was humiliating. Somebody found out about your butt. And they never let you live it down. You don't talk about it. But they do. And what they were saying, though Elizabeth was married to a high priest, and though she came from a priestly family, folks talked about her butt. And at this point, in spite of being blameless, they had convinced themselves that it's just simply God is not going to bless us. It's the use of having a big house and no kids to play in it. What good is a big backyard with no kids to run around? They were blessed. They lived on the right side of town. They had the right name. They had the right profession. But all their lives, they were living with a butt. Are you with me? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Here it is. So they have a butt. And then so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Because there was such a large number of priests serving at the temple in Jerusalem, most priests would never be chosen for this duty of lighting the incense, right? There was such a large number of priests, only so many days in the year, 360 days, if you do Jewish calendar, American calendar, whatever it is, but there were thousands of priests. So a priest could live a lifetime and never be chosen to light the incense. It was just that many of them. And so few opportunities. And this is what was interesting that I picked up. When you were chosen, if you were chosen, according to Jewish law or the custom of the priesthood, you can only light the incense one time. So the greater probability is that you never get to light the incense. Just never fell to you. And if you ever were chosen to light the incense, that's all you got was one shot. Are you with me this Sunday? And so here we are. Zacharias is chosen to light the incense. Now, the purpose of the incense. Now, Josh, put the sermon on pause or something. Because this is a side. No, I'm joking, Josh. This isn't a part of the sermon, but I'm just going to give you this because you need to know this. The incense was to be kept burning perpetually. Now listen to what I'm saying, right? The incense was to be kept burning perpetually. I mean, it can't go out. And the incense, the altar of incense, and I tried to get a picture, but I couldn't find one to put in the slides, but the altar of incense was in front of the veil that divided the holy place from the most holy place. Are you with me? The altar of incense. Right? It was placed before the, just imagine if there was a curtain here, a veil, so you couldn't see what was on the other side. And right on the front of it was the altar of incense. And that's where the priest would come in with the incense, and he would change out the incense. What was in there was burning down, so he would pour in more so that the fire would what? Keep burning. And as the fire burned and consumed the incense, it sent up a smoke and released an aroma that filled the room. Right? Are you with me? This is not the sermon. I'm just giving you this. So here it is. The priest chosen to go in, right? Get this. The priest represents the people, right? Because how many know all of Israel can't go into the holy place? It ain't, it wasn't milk for one man who would get chosen, one priest. Lot, Father, you, this is your time. You gather the incense, and one man, the priest, would go in, and the priest represented the people, right? What was it? Verse 11 or something said, all the people are what? Outside. They're outside in the courtyard of the temple. The priest goes in, and he goes in with the incense. Priest represents the people. The incense represents the prayers of the people. He would go in, not representing himself, but the people, and he would carry the censer with the incense, and the incense represented the prayers such that when he put them on the altar and the fire hit them, and the smoke and aroma that would be released would be the prayers of the people going up. How many times have you prayed for other people and their prayers have gone up, yet seemingly God does not hear yours? Zechariah had a butt, and I'm telling you, he prayed about it. I know he prayed about it. Let me tell you how I know. Because I'm sure Elizabeth told him about it. Right? Men, what Christian men, what we can do. When we can't fix it, what? We got to pray about it. Lord, she on me about this. She on me about that. So here Zechariah has his own prayer request, but for years they seem to go unanswered. Yet this time he's in the holy place. He brings the prayers of all the people. He puts down the incense, and now the smoke and aroma of the people's prayer go up before God. Are you with me this Sunday? So get this, lone priest. He represents the people, the incense, the prayer. Get this. He puts it on the altar before the veil. Just on the other side of the veil is the most holy place. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God dwells. Get this, the only thing between the priest and God was a piece of cloth that hung down from the ceiling. That's all that, from the presence of God was nothing but a veil. Right? Let me see if you're with me this Sunday. One priest represents the people. Right? You got to get this, because if you don't get it, you missed the whole sermon. This one man was the priest. Right? Chosen. Today's your day. He goes in, not for himself, but for the people. Right? And he carries their prayers, right, to the altar. When the smoke and aroma goes up, they go beyond the veil and into the Most Holy. He doesn't go, but the prayers go, right? This is why your Bible says that when Christ died, the veil in the temple was ripped. What I want you to see is that Jesus Christ is the veil. And when he was ripped, the veil in the temple was also ripped, signifying for you and I that now our prayers can go directly to God. I don't need the high priest, right, who has his own butts to carry my prayers. Why? The Hebrew writer tells us why. Because now we have what? We have a high priest, right, who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Won't the church say amen? So he's blameless, but she's barren. Verse 11, here it is. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Here it is. This is where I'm trying to get to the whole sermon. Holiday season. Listen to the angels. You ready? God hears your prayers, right? That's for somebody. I don't know if it's for you. You got to make sure you get it. That's the preaching point. This angel, Gabriel, was sent at this particular moment when Zacharias was chosen to meet him in the holy place and to tell him. This was always found interesting about the text. The text never said God has answered your prayer. It simply says God has heard your prayer. And even as it was for Zacharias, so it is for you today. That's my message to the whole church, that God has heard your prayer. Regardless of how long you have been praying for it or about it, I'm here to tell you this holiday, God has heard your prayer. And the only thing that you must do, and which is my assignment to prepare you, is make sure you listen to the angels. Right? The angels has the message from God. Right? And the message is that God has heard your prayer. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy or dull, that he cannot hear." Look at somebody and tell them, God's heard your prayer. By this point, you have stopped praying about your butt. You've been praying so long without an answer or a resolution or a fix to the problem. You have given up hope and confidence that anything will ever change. But look at somebody and tell them, God has heard your prayer. I don't know about you. That's why I come to church on Sunday. Preacher, tell me, give me a word, give me some kind of indication whether or not God has heard my prayer. Here it is, verse 18. I got to get out of this. And so Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know?" And I would say, he said, I really don't believe you. How can this be? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years, right? And so the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings." Have you ever gotten good news and it's been so good you didn't believe it? Has everyone ever told you they're going to do something so good for you? I mean, you just didn't believe it. Man, get out of here. Stop fooling around. You know you ain't going to do that. You know you're not going to get that from me. That's Zechariah. Zechariah had gotten the answer to his prayer, but didn't believe it. Because it came from a different source. Are you with me? One of the things you got to do this Christmas, you got to listen to different people. Every Christmas, you do the same thing with the same people. And the same people give you what? The same message. Right? And so it just reinforces itself in your mind, right? That's why I told you the theme for the rest of this month is what? Listen to the angels, right? When the angels speak, they're going to bring you a message from God, right? And that message is going to be unique for your butt. It's going to be for your butt, the inconsistency in your own life, right? And so you've got to listen to it and receive it by faith, right? So here, another helpful tip for the holidays. So when you get up, you're stressed out, you're worried, and all this stuff, you need a turkey, you need a ham, all that, right? When you wake up early in the morning, here it is, helpful pastor. Put your phone down. Right? Stop streaming for a minute. Stop binging for a minute. Could it be, you answer this, could it be God is calling you to a holy place? But you are so unaccustomed to hearing angels speak in your life that you don't believe it. And instead of getting up and going to meet God in the holy place, we pick up our phones. We turn on the television. We start surfing the internet. Why? Because they are all familiar sources of information. If I pick up my phone, I know my girlfriends have texted me. If I get on Netflix, I know I got four more episodes to watch. All familiar sources. And none of them can do anything about your butt. If they could, it would have fixed it by now. But could it be you're up early this morning because the lot has fell to you? And God is calling you to the holy place so that his angel can deliver God's message for you. Zacharias, God has heard your prayer. Will you have the faith to believe it? Or will you dismiss it because it comes from an unfamiliar source? You look at the biblical records, the angels don't show up often. They don't speak often. And so for many of the biblical characters, when they heard it, they didn't know what to do with it. Because it came from an unfamiliar source. But that's where your faith has to kick in. And that's where the Spirit of God in you has to resonate with the Spirit of God in the angel sent to your life. Look at somebody and tell them God's going to bless you. Now, you may not get excited about that message, and I wouldn't either because they're no angel. But I am trying to prepare you for tomorrow morning, the next morning, the next morning after that, when the Spirit of the Lord troubles you, wakes you out of a sound sleep, calls you into a holy place with God, and the angel delivers a message that God has heard your prayer. I know it's been a lifetime. I know it's been a long time. But finally, God has. Because if you fail to believe the angel, look what the angel told him. He said, Zach, you had one shot. Because you failed to listen to the angel at Christmas time, he said, you are going to be unable to speak. You didn't know anything about the priesthood. You a priest, you got to be what? Got to be able to speak. You got to recite the laws, the ordinances. You got to pronounce the blessing over the congregation. You got to offer up the prayer. So for the priest to be unable to speak, it would be crippling. Right? But it was the priest who failed to have faith. And believe that God. But look what I did. He said, you won't be able to speak. This is what I love. He said, until this thing comes to pass. He said, even though you didn't believe me, God said, I'm going to do it anyway. God, the promises of God are both yes and amen. Had he not spoken it, shall he not make it good? All right, so let's try it again and I'm finished. Then next to you, just tell him, God's going to bless you. Right? Come on, tell him one more time. God is going to bless you. Come on, use your good preaching voice. Look, I want you to act like you're the pastor this Sunday and just tell them God is going to bless you. Somebody give God a praise. Don't take my word for it. Take the angel's word. The angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord, has come to your house to give you a word that God has heard your... Yes, he has. Yes. Yes and amen. He's heard my prayer about my butt. He's heard my... I couldn't tell nobody else. I couldn't pray any longer. But God has heard. Yet, yes. Yes again. Yeah. Yes. I dare you to praise him. I dare you to give the Lord a... Woo! Woo! Yes. I thought I would die with my butt. I thought I would die and never get an answer. But thanks be unto God. He heard. Oh. Yes. I waited all my life, but finally the angel came. I'm not young anymore. I'm advanced in age, but thanks be to God. He heard. Oh! Yes, he did. That's why I rejoice. That's why I give him the praise. That's why I give him the glory. Because he heard. Woo! That message is for you. This Christmas. Yes. It didn't happen last Christmas. It didn't happen the Christmas before that. But this Christmas, listen to the angels. Woo! I gotta quit. I gotta get out of here. Give him a praise. You ever pray for something so long that you quit praying about it? The week, month, I mean year after year. And nothing happens. It's not only that nothing happens, but you don't even get a sign that something might happen. So you finally get to the point where you stop praying. And you become more comfortable praying other people's prayers. Because you believe God will not answer. You convince yourself that if he was going to answer, he would have answered by now. I'm not 15 anymore, God. You had a chance when I was 25 and 30, but you didn't say nothing. I've just grown to believe that it's your will for me to carry this butt to my grave. But I want to challenge you this Christmas season. Listen for the angels. I'm telling you, it's going to come from a different source. The answer to your butt is not on your phone. It's not on your tablet. The answer is with the angel. The only place you're going to meet the angel of the Lord is in the holy place. Pastor, what's the holy place? Everybody in here should have a place in your house reserved exclusively for you and God. Look how I'm serious about this. You need to have that place. Watch this. Even if you don't go into it. I grew up with my grandmother. My grandmother had a coffee table in the living room, and on it, this fancy Bible. She put the fear of God into us about touching that Bible. I mean, we weren't scared she was going to whip us. We were scared God was going to whip us. I mean, you don't touch that Bible. And as long as I live, I never recall her reading it once. It was always on Psalms 23. To the point where I thought that was the only psalm in the psalm. Never turned it, never touched it. Never read it. If you're here this Sunday and you don't have a holy place, and the holy place can't be your church. The holy place can't be your friend's church. The holy place can't be a room at your mother's house. It's got to be at your house. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. This could, even if you don't go into it, have a place. My kitchen table, my dining room nightstand on the side of my, find a place. The angel met him at a designated place. Some of you are missing the angel because you don't have a place. Look at somebody and tell them the angel's not coming to your house. All right, y'all didn't have enough courage to say that, so I said it. The angel's not coming to your house. I tell you another secret. I'm not coming either. You need a place. You have no other prayer to pray. Pray this prayer this Sunday. Lord, help me find a place. If it's down in the basement, if it's in the garage, I don't care. Give me a place. That when I go, I can hear the angels speak. Give me a place, God, so that I can hear you speak. I know who's speaking on my phone. I know who's speaking on my chest. But where can I hear God speak? Lord, give me a place. Somewhere in my home. And then, Lord, after you've given me a physical place, give me a spiritual place. Now that you've given me a place in my home, now give me a place in my body. Give me the secret. Show me the secret place of the Most High. Show me the place inside of me where spirit talks to spirit. Deep unto deep. There is a place. And I'm laying this groundwork because I'm telling you, this Christmas, the angel's going to speak in your life. He's waiting now. Pastor, I don't hear. One, you don't hear because you're not in the right place. Where's the holy place in your house? Where's the place reserved exclusively for you and God? And once you find that place, this is what the psalmist said. This is what the psalmist said. He found the place. He said this. He offered up this prayer. He said, create in me a clean heart. You know what that prayer is saying? He's saying, Lord, create a place, a space in. I got a space in my house. But now I need a space inside of me. I need a space inside of me so that even when my mouth fails to move, I can communicate with you. Because it's deep to deep. God, I got some stuff I don't even have the courage to pray about. God, I got so many buts that every time I think about it, I start crying. I can never utter a word. I can never say, I want to say forgive me, but it never comes out. The moment I think about it, the moment I bring it up. That's why you need a place. But you can go to God and never say nothing. Why? Because God knows your butt. He knows what you've been dealing with, what you've been holding on to. He knows the pain it's caused you. He knows the sacrifices you've had to make. And all he ever wanted was for you to meet him at the holy place. He hasn't been ignoring your prayer. You haven't given him an opportunity to answer your prayer. Shall we stand all over the sanctuary? I thank you so much for helping me preach this morning. Before we close out, I'm going to ask you to help me again. Can we grab every hand in the sanctuary? Whoever's close by, one row up, one row back. Come on, let's just connect. You help me preach, now I need you to help me to pray. Leave nobody unconnected. We just sing a song in the old church. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Will you help me? Will you help me by just squeezing that hand? There it is. Somebody else with a butt like mine. Squeeze that hand. Every time you squeeze that hand, you remind them that God hears your prayer. So as we depart this place, but not his presence, find a place. Simple assignment. I'm not asking you to read Exodus. Not asking you to memorize the book of John. I'm just asking you to go home and find a place. Create a place. And if you don't have a place, ask God to give you a place. Show me where, God, in my house, where I can meet with you. Maybe it's at the kitchen table. Maybe it's at your nightstand beside your bed. Maybe you got a little table and stand down. But God, show me a place. I need to hear the angel this Christmas. I don't want another Christmas to go by. And I hear everybody else but the angel of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us to hear your word. Lord, I thank you for the message today. Not just for the people, but for the preacher himself. That God has heard my prayers. Lord, I pray this Sunday that you would give us responsiveness to the heeding and prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that we would turn off familiar sources of information and sounds. And that we would get better acquainted with the voices of angels. So that we can get a message from God. God, I thank you in advance, not only for this message, but I thank you for what this message means to so many people. To leave today knowing God has heard my prayer. Oh, I'm just thankful. He hasn't even done anything yet, but I'm glad I know. Now that I've gotten into the holy place, now that you created a holy place in me, now I know God has his own divine wisdom answered my prayer. Today we are made new, made whole in Christ, for which we are grateful. So, Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And above all, we thank you for the message from your angel. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, hug three people today. Come on, we're getting out of here. Hug three people. I'm coming over to your house. Yes, 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 yes. Find a place when you go home. Find a place. Not for Christmas gifts, not for Christmas trees, but find a place where the angels can come. Find a place where the angel of the Lord can meet you. Yes, 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 yes. Well, oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Some people may look at your life and think you're blameless. But in the light of the Word of God, you and I both know you got some buts. But in spite of your but, God has promised to bless you. Isn't that a loving God? That in spite of our shortcomings, our failures, our faults, our lack of... Zacharias didn't believe him. But God did it anyway. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. If you're glad about it, just give them a small hand clap. Nothing hard. Just, I'm glad. I'm glad. In spite of my faults and my failures, he remains faithful. We're going to have one last stand and we're going to get out of here. Shanita's already done the announcements. You know how we do for offerings, the offering basket, or you can give electronically. Josh got the stuff up on the screen. It's 11:30. We got to get up ready and get upstairs for our Angel Tree families. Do I need to say anything or do anything? Is the key here? We good? 11:30, right? All right. It's 12 o'clock, but as always, they told me 11:30. Welcome back, Pastor. We miss you here. Nobody to pick on, nobody to joke. But thank God. Thank God for you. Shall we all stand? Not going to delay the hour. Let me thank you in advance to all the families who have supported the Christmas Tree Initiative this year. Thanks so much to our sister Zakia and all that has served on the Angel Tree Committee. Everything looks so lovely. The gifts look fantastic. Let's all be prepared to go upstairs at noon and greet all of our families. And just a reminder, go down a little, Khalil. Just a reminder about the Angel Tree. It is children whose parents are presently incarcerated. Right? I don't think I need to say that again. I just wanted us to remind, we think angels and trees and we think it's all nice and pretty. Some people don't have lives that are nice and pretty. I know you may find that hard to believe with your old cute self. Some people got hard lives. Some kids go to homes with no mom, no dad. And yet and still, God brings them through. So this year, God has used us to continue the tradition of the apple tree, the angel tree. I said apple tree because I'm hungry. You preach an hour and a half, you start thinking about apples and apple cider and all that type of stuff. But again, thank you for your generosity and liberality in giving. Come on, let's look to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, great privilege that we have had this Sunday morning to gather in this place, to gather around this word, to gather in and amongst this people, to hear from you a message from the angel, and to be able to rejoice and celebrate with the angels in heaven, because our God is omnipotent, and there is none other like unto him. So we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor and all the praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen. Come on, give them your best praise.